Blog Talk Radio.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Hi, hope everybody's back, and welcome to the second two-hour segment of Pod for the Cause, a marathon podcast for cancer, where all proceeds raised from our auction and donations will go directly to the American Cancer Society in the name of Daytime Stars and Strikes. So I'm checking the chat room to see if everybody is still with us. Is everybody still with us?
You may need to refresh for the second part, too.
My chat room has not disappeared, so let me see if I can open up.
Riley says we're back.
The chat room and have everybody there, and Riley says we're back. If the dog says it, it must be true.
Woo!
And here we are.
Awesome sauce. That's so good to know for future reference if we ever do another marathon podcast.
Mind you, if we don't figure out what we're going to do about Blog Talk changing to pay, we might not be doing any more of these marathon podcasts, but it doesn't matter because we have an action-packed 2 hours ahead of us right now. As we fight for a cure, because together we can find a cure. As promised, we are going to start the second hour with 2 minutes and 46 seconds of the delightful, the lovely, the vivacious,
the spicy redheaded,
Liz Kiefer.
Gatekeeper.
So for those of you who have been waiting for the Liz Kiefer one, video, you're about to get it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm hoping everybody's back. Should we wait until we know for sure that everybody's back? Hello?
Ah. So I have to give them, there's the correct link for the part two.
Okay. Rox is ready. Woo. Riley's ready. I hope that the delightful gift of Amber is still in here and ready, because here is the video for Liz Kiefer, and here comes the audio for Liz Kiefer at Daytime Stars and Strikes, October 2010.
Okay. Okay. Jerry was telling us a story that he remembers the first year you both bowled.
Yes.
And you don't bowl anymore, but it gives him more time to hear stories. Do you miss bowling, or would you rather mingle with the crowd?
That's a good question. I remember coming here when my kids were really young and bowling with them, and that was fun. We had a whole lane, a family lane together. I agree with Jerry. When you're bowling, you don't get to have the contact and share the stories, which are very personal and make this a beautiful experience. Not that bowling doesn't make it makes it kind of an embarrassing experience. Because of what it is that you want. I actually rather like going around and talking to people. It's a lot of fun. I'm not a good bowler. So there's no need.
Aren't you good at everything?
No. Well, you know, I try.
So now that people are seeing you on Venice and they've seen the moment of you on Venice.
Brilliant moment, might I add.
Are you thinking of maybe branching out in some more new media? Or are you going to want to do another show? What's next for Liz Kiefer?
Interesting. The whole world is open for me. Many, many possibilities. I'm open for anything, and I'm actively searching. And I'm developing.
I like that word. I like hearing that.
Yeah. I'm also I'm teaching a lot, which I'm really loving, and I'm developing something where I believe I will be directing a documentary this year. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm opening up in many, many different areas, but I think this year's going to be a launching of a lot of new developments.
Perfect.
Yeah.
One last fun question.
Mm-hmm.
Past or present, character you played or a character you've watched, if you could play any character on any soap ever, who would it be?
Opal from All My Children.
Good answer. Why?
Because she's fun.
She's naughty, too.
She's fun. And she doesn't have to be perfect and pretty every day.
Would you work at Chicken Shack?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Thank you, Liz.
I love how quick she said Opal.
How dirty she gets in the end of the video, too. She's like, Christian, she doesn't have to be pretty every day. Would you work out?
Yeah. I would love. Can you imagine if they just did, you know, like crazy what if episode of All My Children, and you had Liz Kiefer show up at the Chicken Shack as Opal? Just, you know, redo one of those old episodes of AMC.
Spoof episode. They used to do them on Guiding Lights.
Because Opal was a killer character. Is a killer character on All My Children. I love Liz Kiefer. And doesn't she look great in that video? For those of you who only listen to the audio of that, you need to go look at the video, because Liz is incredibly beautiful in the video. She looks great.
And if you listen very carefully, at the very beginning, the first person to speak, I think, is actually Jeff. First, she says something.
Just was in the room.
Yeah.
Just so that you know, the entire time that video was going on, she was in that room.
But we had to cut a big portion of it because it was just kind of rude. Simply because Liz had, I guess, a hair in her lip gloss, and Jessica points it out, so Liz is trying to fix that, and it was just, you know, it's an awkward moment. So we didn't want to put that up because we love Liz. So then after it, she's like, do I have it? Is it good? Is it going good? And Jessica says, you're perfect. It's fabulous. You look like Mama. And then and it just went on from there.
Yeah. And I'm actually tweeting this now so that people who didn't get a chance to
be here
for the podcast or see it can see Liz's interview, because it's really quite funny. But yeah, it was really sweet that Jess, and if you look on the Facebook or on my Twitter, you'll see the picture of them hugging Liz and Jess, because Jess came walking in the room right in the middle of the interview.
And that was literally, that picture is maybe 2 seconds after Jess walked in.
Well, they were up and in that hug so fast.
It was fantastic.
We felt so lucky to be there to witness that little.
And then Jeff just sat in the corner with her little giggle self.
She's so adorable. She is. She really is. Remember, write to One Life to Live. Get Liz Kiefer on One Life to Live.
And of course, you know, she had her, for if you pay close enough attention, it looks like a headband. It's Liz's glasses are in her hair. She had them in her hair during the whole event. And while bowling, in our interview, she would just pop them up in her hair like it was part of the do.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, when she had to, she'd bring them down. But it's very cute. Like, these are not going anywhere. I need them now.
She's such a neat person, Liz Kiefer.
Mm-hmm.
You just, and anybody, Amber and anybody who was at that event can tell people what a neat person she is, because she had... Hey, that didn't work at all.
She had what? You can't just drop off in the middle of a sentence, even though you're doing five things at once.
I am trying to do five things at once. I'm trying to get out there and just...
Get it all posted.
Get it all posted and make sure that everybody is... I don't know what's happening to me right now. Liz Kiefer had a lot of fun at that event, and she was really, really great with people. And I think everybody had a really good time with her. and she would bowl and then turn around and talk to people. And hopefully Amber will put up that, Gift of Amber will put up that video that she did of everybody bowling at the event again, because it really, it was so, it's, you just don't know until you're at an event like that how cool it can really be. Do you have a favorite moment from that event?
Beth's dance.
Well, first you have to tell everybody about Beth's dance. I think, is it Amber or the other video? Somebody's got
Amber,
her doing it.
Amber has it, I believe, has her doing the video. I think, I could be wrong. But yeah, it was the best accomplishment dance of people have told me how to bowl and I've actually knocked pins down. And that was one moment, her little dance, but I think it was the moment she actually got a strike. And because she was paying no attention to it when she bowled, and she just kind of turned back like, it's going to go down the side, and then she actually managed to get a strike off the side.
She was so worried that she was going to have the bumpers.
I think it would be hilarious if everyone had the bumpers.
There
would be no gutter balls, because there were some gutter balls. But I think it would be awesome, because then you could do the whole ping-pong it down the bumpers and see how many you get. Make a game out of the bumpers. And that's just me. But, yeah, that was probably one of the favorite moments. And the fact that there was a new thing that they did this past year where you donated $5 for every strike of a particular lane. And then whoever had the most strikes at the end of it got a ribbon. Well, none of the actors actually got it. It was Yvonne's daughter got like eight strikes in a row. Bowling on her mom's lane, and she made like what, 6, 7? It was her youngest, and she was holding this huge blue ribbon. It was as big as her face, saying that she had gotten the most strikes for the event on her mom's lane.
I gotta find the picture because I put it up in the. You know, this new Facebook thing. Can we just talk about this for a second? This new Facebook thing drives me completely batshit.
Well, you better be careful now because the option to use the old Twitter is going away, too.
I know, and I don't like that one either, but I wanted to find the picture, and there it is. And I'll put it up in the chat room in its full and unshortened glory of Yvonne and her daughter from the Daytime Stars and Strikes event. Yvonne is quite frankly, one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen in person.
And you can catch her now on Blue Bloods.
She's a recurring character on Blue Bloods. But it's a really, really good picture of she and her daughter. And she really is an incredibly beautiful woman.
And for those of you who are having problems with the YouTube channel, it's now visible. It wasn't visible. The videos were visible, but the channel was not. So you couldn't go through the grids.
Oh.
So I saw a tweet. So now it's visible. Yay. Subscribe and see our channel. Woo-ha.
Oh. Well, there's a lot more videos that are available than what we've actually talked about on the show so far.
So people might get a preview. But
so people might be getting a preview.
The only way you can hear them live is on our show.
Correct. And I do not think I have made the Jess one public quite yet.
Ooh, look at you being sneaky.
Well, I'm not going to make the Jess one public. I think all of the other ones are public except for Jessica's and Beth's at this point, and Marge Doucet.
Martin, okay, really? How fantastic is Marge Doucet to do what she did?
Mm-hmm.
For anybody who didn't catch it in the beginning when Jerry, Liz, and Wendy called in, Marge Doucet had told Jerry, give me an address. And Jerry Verdorn gave her an address. And after the event was over, apparently she sent a sizable donation check because she had so much fun and truly believed in what was going on with Daytime Stars and Strikes. It really was, with her, was like being in the presence of royalty. And and that was the only sensation that I can use to describe is being in the presence of royalty and acting accordingly. Because you sent me to go get her.
I did. I sent that out to go get Marge Doucet.
Why?
Like, I don't know what to say to her. I don't
want to be rude. If she shoots me down, I'm going to feel horrible. But you know, it was that kind of moment. And then getting there and waiting because there were people taking her picture and talking with her. And she had been seated. And so I being respectful me, you never want to, just because to me she is an elder. She's older than I am. She's in the, you know, royal thing. So I'm like, I can't stand above her and look down. She's seated. So I squatted all the way till I think my kneecaps were about to pop off to make sure I was lower than her viewpoint before talking with her and asking, you know, we're doing this for this event. It's after daytime starts and strikes, would you please? And I can remember practically escorting her, which was how it was through, because I you know, offered her my hand when she was going down the stairs and coming through in the back. And I remember grabbing you and going, and that was probably the most nerve-wracking portion of daytime starting to finish. Go get Marge to say. What? Me? Look, maybe Jerry can do it. I don't.
Oh, you're so funny.
I try.
It was
let's
though.
Do Bradley Cole, Jennifer Rozelle.
Okay.
Jessica Lucia.
We still have 2 hours.
Jessica Lucia, Marge Doucet, Beth Chamberlain, mm-hmm. in that order.
Did you write it down?
No, but we'll figure it out. I want to get to get these in here because some of them are pretty short. So here's Bradley Cole.
You to being involved in this event besides just being friends with Luke and Jerry.
Well, I got to say that having Jerry as a mentor over a guiding light, I would do just about anything for him. So, and Liz, of course, too. They're just great people and so much fun. I have so much respect for them. So I'm really, you know, drawn to this event because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's a great chance for us to, you know, bring all of the folks together. Jerry is a good conduit for that. So and that's why I'm here.
And is this your first?
No, I've
been before.
Yeah. I'm not very proud of the scores that I have in the past years. We may have to put up the bumpers for me. But a lot of people were disappointed with my bowling ability, but I'm going to try to do better this year.
I don't have any doubt you won't need the bumpers. And what we want to ask you is a fun question for everybody at the end of this. If you could play any other character on any other show, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness.
Existing or past?
Existing or past? I would just like to play any character on any show at this point. So if you're listening, there's so many great soap characters. You know, I like playing the villains. I recently played kind of a villain on General Hospital, Warren Bauer, but he met his demise. So I maybe want to do something. Jeffrey was not really such a nice guy. Maybe I want to do a good guy again.
That's cool. Thank you very much,
Brett. You're welcome.
Such a pretty man. Isn't he?
He is. It's his eyes.
It is his eyes. And he played Jeffrey on Guiding Light, but he also played Prince Richard.
Yes. Did you unplug your mic again?
No, I did not.
Okay. I keep hearing pop.
Excuse
Quit
me.
Messing with it.
I'm sorry. I'm not touching nothing, I swear.
I just hear pop.
It wasn't me.
God, my ear. Because you're messing with the cord.
No. I mean, like, seriously, you just got on to me for not telling you that Anna Silk was on Twitter.
I got my best. That's not so bad. It's just the electronic popping in my ear. I'm like, ooh, mic disconnect.
Ooh, my ears are going numb.
Mic disconnect. It's the headphones.
I know.
So I guess, you know, we don't have a guest right now. We could probably pop them off and still hear each other just fine.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same. Excuse me. Okay, so if you, once again, have had an experience with cancer or cancer has touched your life, please feel free to call in. And if you could tweet that, Shad, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the rest of you, if you have an opportunity to tweet it. The call-in number is 646-200-0147.
There's been a correction. Apparently, Terrell Tilford got the ribbon for most strikes.
Did he?
That's what somebody in the chat room just said.
Ah, did he? But who won the 5 for 5?
Maybe that was Yvonne's daughter.
See, I don't remember who won the 5 for 5, but I thought that was Yvonne's daughter. We have pictures of Terrell. Talk about a pretty man.
A tall man. Pretty tall man.
He is a really, I think there's a picture of us. Neither one looking our best that day.
No, I looked like I was smacked in the feet.
With him, but he is a very good-looking man. And there is the link to the picture with him. And I'm going to look in these pictures one more time to see what it was. Here's the picture with Yvonne's daughter. She won the 5 for strikes.
Okay.
Yvonne's daughter won the 5 for strikes.
Okay, there we go. And then Terrell won
for the most strikes.
Most strikes, yeah.
Correct. We had to get that straight. And thank you, is it Bettina, for telling us that, because I'm really glad somebody did. So that we could get it right, because we want to get it right.
Is it bad that somebody just tweeted me a football update?
No, that's not bad at all. What game did they update you on?
3 of them, actually. Apparently the Colts beat Jacksonville, the Cowboys beat the Redskins, and the Jets beat the Steelers.
So there's been no update on the Bucks, the Falcons, or the Saints?
I believe that's the late game. But they may still be going on.
Well, in the words of Despicable Me, poop. I will show you in the chat room now one of my favorite pictures from Daytime Stars and Strikes.
He was not letting go of you.
He was so sweet. And talk about a tall man.
He is a big man.
He's a big man. And the bear hug was awesome.
He's one of them fantastic bear hugging gentlemen.
Totally. It was awesome. It was a great hug. I felt completely cherished in that hug, I swear. Okay.
Isn't that how you're supposed to feel?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great hug, and it was a great moment. Yeah. So before moving on, I have to say our next interview is Jennifer Rozelle, who was, for you Guiding Light fans out there, the final Elaney, who was married to Flank.
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 And last
because
year
that's
got
how Melina Canacaritas used to say Frank's name.
Flank.
She called him Flank. Flank. I can hardly choose between you and Alan Michael Flank. She was the final Elaney on Guiding Light. She was part of the event last year. She actually, at the BPD, the Big Purple Dreams meetup,
mm-hmm.
last year, at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square, after the Guiding Light event at that hotel, she came down and mingled with the BPD peeps.
Yes, she did.
In the bar last year.
Well, not
so those of you who were there, and Rocks, I'm going to tweet those pictures as well. Those of you who were there will remember her from that.
Yeah, and I remember her and Flank because I was doing something else at that event in the time in which I was in line. I think I was explaining to Liz Keeper, the lady behind me was like 100 and had seen every episode of Guiding Light and that she was here and, you know, her daughter had brought her and whatnot. And so instead of me and a picture with Jennifer and Frank Topless, they're holding up a business card that actually says, "Hi, Amanda," and they're waving and smiling in the picture.
It was really very sweet. And she, this past season, for those of you who are fans of the television show Damages, was on Damages.
Mm-hmm.
Had a role on Damages. And she's not sure if she's coming back for the next season. But she was on Damages. She does talk about it in the interview as well as her new baby. And then she has a very interesting answer to the question of who she'd like to play. So here is Jennifer Rozelle.
That's why I'm back here. You're on camera. You ready?
How are you?
I am great.
I am a mom.
You are a mom. I heard you were a mom. Dad. And how old is the baby now?
She's 9 months.
Yeah, picture.
Yes, well, she's a new mom.
Oh, wait. Oh, my husband texted me. Turn on. Yes.
Oh, you have to zoom in on that.
Thank you.
What's her name?
Went off.
He was great. So Daddy told me that Mommy's bowling. And Mommy's bowling today.
Mommy's bowling. Mommy's a terrible bowler.
Mommy got a bunch of strikes last year.
I did. I remember talking to
her. Mommy's a ringer.
And then nobody saw them. Well, a couple people saw them. And then they get to record it on the thing.
We're going to be out there watching the ball.
Good. You better.
We'll get it. That's
we're gonna. We should do the $5 strike bet on Jennifer.
Fine.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And the first bet, that should be worth yeah. $10 probably too. Right there, because you know about
yeah.
Yeah. We already know that you always. What's new for you? What are you up to?
So I had a great season last year on a television show called Bandages, and which just went off of FX and is now on DirecTV. But I don't know my status.
Had to be clicked on YouTube before they
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
No. Okay. So you don't know if you're going back?
I don't. You know, and the writers are so incredibly fabulous. So I'm just hoping there's some, you know, leftover shaved down things.
People need to write to Damages and let them know that they want
to. Yeah, write to Damages and let them know how much you want Jennifer Bell to come back on the show.
Sorry.
I really want to go back because I loved it. It's one of my favorite jobs.
So, I mean, but you're drawn to this event not only because of Liz and Sherry, but because
you used to host this event,
and not a lot of people know that.
I did. Back in the day, I used to host this event, and 1 year I hosted with Michael O'Leary, and one
that
year
had
I had
a Bill Knapp riot right there.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. You know, I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's somewhere right now doing an impression of me, because that's how he is. I mean, Michael O'Leary would call me. A friend of mine went to work on Getting Right for a day or something. She was like a day player on the show, and she said, "Hi, I'm friends with Jennifer Rozelle." She doesn't say hi. So he grabs her cell phone and says, "Oh my God, I'm on set here with," and he does this whole, he makes up this character, right? This character who is apparently drunk and needs a place to stay. And so he's like calling me saying, "I just want to crash on your couch for a little while." He's like, this whole shit. But the thing is, I don't know, it's Michael. And I'm like, who's this guy calling and wanting to crash on my couch?
Eventually, I figure out who's Michael. But Michael.
Yeah. So that's Michael. So I'm sure he's somewhere doing an impression for me right now. And I want to see that impression so you can find him. And
he's supposed to be here today, so if we find him,
you need to have him do an impression of me. And I'm going to be a little hurt if he doesn't have one of me. I bet he does. I think he has an impression of everyone that he's ever met. So, but I do
look hurt. So, what can your lane mates expect today from your bowling? I mean, we've discussed if you are or
aren't. I am the master of the gutter ball.
No bumpers?
I should get bumpers. yeah, I'm a master of the gutter ball and the surprise strike. So, yeah.
That's where she gets you. That's the gutter ball for two and then four strikes.
See, it's none of this middle of the road stuff. It's either really bad or really great. Kind of like my acting. It's either like brilliant or really awful. So
speaking of your acting, of potential acting, you know, you're on Damages or you were on Damages last season and you really want to go back. But if you could play any soap character, past or present, that isn't Elaney, or isn't the other character we're getting? Who would it be if you could walk in any character
Erica
shoes?
Kane. Oh, yeah.
Erica Kane, why?
There's a mixture of, there's a word that starts with a B that comes into play, and I never got to play those notes with Eleni. So, either that or Alexander Spolvay, actually. Number one, I think part of that is because I admire Marcia Day so much as an actress, but also I want to walk on the dark side a little bit. I want to play as show that evil. But I want to be that girl. I want to be the girl.
Is that not the most believable thing you've ever seen?
Bad girl.
Dang it.
Good girl.
I always get hired as good girls. And I really want to, I think good girls can just play good bad girls.
I think so.
So I really want to mix it up and play. I want to be the girl who sticks around. You know, I've always been.
You would have been married 16 times.
I want to be married 16 times. You know, I want to be that girl that I'm usually the good wife and good mother and, you know, stable force in the family. And I want to mix it up.
Sweet.
Yeah, I want to be a little evil, actually. I want to be evil.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be also, what's his name? Alan Michael.
Alan Michael Baldwin.
I mean, but in a girl version.
You can do that.
So I want to.
Or you can do it in drag.
Oh, no, that would be.
Oh, I know. We should get our Lost Girl in Canada.
In what?
There's a show in Canada that's really good. You could play succubus or a fairy or something like that.
See? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like my theatrical background was like really over the top, so I could be
perfect.
Right?
That'd be perfect.
I think that'd be really fun. I'm going to play the evil goddess.
Now we have to let her go to her role for today.
Yeah.
Which is bowler extraordinaire.
Yay. So thanks for saying hi. Have fun.
And donate,
please. It's a great cause. So thanks for watching.
Thank you.
She's so funny.
Alan Michael Spaulding.
I would pay money to see her do Alan Michael Spaulding in drag.
That would be one of those what ifs.
With Melina Canacarita says.
That would be what if.
Yeah, Jennifer Rozell is Alan Michael Spaulding. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, with, you know, Marge to say Proteus and Liz Kiefer as Opal.
Yeah.
Go. Follow through.
And go. I think it's funny that we were showing the interview with Zimmer and Steamboat was tweeting, because, you know, they were back in the studio for Steamboat. Excuse me.
Well, and then she mentioned Michael O'Leary.
Right.
And the next time we have him on, we're going to have him do his impression of Jennifer Rozell.
Now, I'm not going to say who, but we know just from some personal time that we spent when we were in New York, we know that Michael and other people from Guiding Light have left silly voicemails on other people from Guiding Light cell phones because we've heard them. Remember?
That's like he loves to. Apparently, Michael O'Leary's favorite thing to do is prank call all of his buddies.
And not just him.
No. Others.
But the other actor, too, that plays played. His real name is Kurt McKinney.
Yes, Kurt McKinney loves
it. But he likes to do it, too. And I do love her and see Rock's kind of swooned a little bit. I do, too. I think Jennifer Rozell is so pretty, and she's just a sweet person.
Mm-hmm. And being a mommy looks good on her.
And hilarious. She is so funny.
I want to be a bad girl. It's just
I just want to do it.
She said it like she was pouting. Like, I want a cookie.
And we totally stalked her later on to see if she was bowling strikes, and she wasn't.
No, I think we actually have a video of her bowling, and she, I don't think she gutters it. She's trying to do a pickup.
Are you yawning? What are you doing?
The opposite side of the lane.
Are you yawning?
I am not.
Savar?
I never, would never.
You would never.
Uh-uh. If I did, it would be because of a lack of oxygen, not because I'm exhausted. Because we've had, you know, 8 hours of sleep in 3 days. So...
No, it would never be because of that.
Mm-mm. I'm a professional.
Of course you
Dang
are.
Dang it.
Of course you are. Now, you have some statistics of the cost of cancer. Do you have those prepped? Well, then you might want to get
I had them, and then I thought we ran out of time for them, so I closed the window.
Well, not when you have a four-hour podcast. You haven't run out of them. But let's go. Have there been any updated bids?
No.
No?
So for statistics, or my brain is mush.
My name is John.
Oh, Wendy just emailed me to clarify because she's listening. Terrell won the actor ribbon for Five for Strikes.
Oh.
Yvonne's daughter won a Five for Strikes ribbon for participating.
Oh.
There you go.
Look at that.
So now we have the true skinny there from Wendy on the whole things that was going on there.
So what kind of statistics do you want?
Well, just, you know.
That's a lot.
Yeah. we want to give people some sobering statistics so that they will go and bid on the items and donate while I load the next couple of videos. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Let's see.
The cost of cancer is a lot higher than what people think.
Yes. I believe out of the 80 million people that have health insurance around the world, their insurance doesn't cover catastrophic illness such as cancer.
Correct.
It is inadequate to cover it and most often will not be covered before or after you're diagnosed, especially after. It is very hard to get insurance after you've been diagnosed.
Even though there are changes to insuring people for pre-existing conditions,
mm-hmm.
that was mostly the changes that were made by the new health bill was for children, I believe.
Yes.
Carry on.
Mm-hmm. It's like, there's 8,000 million cancer statistics everywhere that I'm trying to find for you.
Oh, well, I thought you had some ready to go. So I am going to load the Marge Doucet and Jessica Lachia videos. See, there you go. No more teasing.
By the time you do Marge Doucet, I will have more for you.
Okay.
It keeps wanting, it's searching in Canada. That's my problem that I'm having now.
Canadian statistics.
No, I don't
yeah.
want Canadian statistics.
Well, we know that every 47 minutes, because this is the most startling statistic to me. I don't know why it's really hitting home with me.
It's catchy, doesn't it?
But I said it in the first hour. Every 47 minutes, a woman is diagnosed with cervical cancer. So already during the course of this podcast, two women have been diagnosed with cervical cancer
mm-hmm.
at a minimum. At a minimum.
And you don't even want to know the number of how many a minute. Lung cancer, general cancer, in 1 minute, on average, and it's an odd number, but 1.73 people will die.
So in the first 2 hours of the podcast,
which is 120 minutes.
120 people die
of
cancer.
A little more.
And another equal amount will die before we finish.
Mm-hmm. And that's just in 4 hours.
In the time it took us to say that, three people died.
That's how bad it is. That's cancer.
It's sobering. It is incredibly sobering to understand the real cost of this disease. To understand what it costs not only our healthcare system, but the general morale of our country, the general morale of people and families. It is an incalculable cost because it goes so far beyond the monetary. And there are other ways, if you can't donate cash, there are other ways to donate. Donate your time to the American Cancer Society.
Volunteer.
Go volunteer. Take someone to a doctor's appointment. Sit with someone for chemo. Some people get diagnosed with cancer and have no one to talk to. That's tough. That's tough. We're really going to have to knock these videos out because we're actually going to be down to our last hour here pretty soon, which is actually really cool. So we've got them spaced out. Quite well. So,
and then of course, you know,
many of you know the name Marge Doucet because she was the final Alexander Spaulding on Guiding Light. But prior to that, she played Proteus on All My Children. And that was a pretty incredible character. But the most incredible character that Marge Doucet plays is Marge Doucet. And this video is proof of that.
I don't think I can lift the ball.
Oh, you can lift it. You can
give me many balls. How many people have said that?
You could slap that ball down the lane.
Well, I used to be able to be pretty good. Usually in sports, I'm a good faker.
I don't know how much I follow through. I would always do those dramatic shots in a golf tournament, but do the regular thing.
Not so much.
I was making four handsome men all the time who were hitters, but, you know, I was the hitter that was a straight hitter, so we won the tournament. It worked out fine. What can I say?
So you're
I faked my way through life.
There you go. You're mingling today.
Yes. I'm mingling, getting a chance to say hello to a lot of people I've seen before, getting a chance to thank Jerry and for Liz for doing this as someone who's had a lot of cancer in their family, has dealt with it. And most things that we hear about, one way or another, diseases are affected by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or affected by cancer somehow.
Right.
And it's still that big, big, big question. So anything they can do to that, anything I can do to remind people how lucky they are if they don't have it, to remind people of the emotional trauma people go through if they do have it. So any of that, and if I may say, to stay on the bright side, sometimes it's very hard.
Sure.
But anyway, I'm always happy to do something like that to do. It's not a fun thing. It's very frightening. It's the worst in a roller coaster, can I tell you that?
That's the truth. That's the truth. My nephew has leukemia, so I'm deeply aware of what it can put a family through.
Right.
Especially when it's a child.
Exactly.
And this gives you a chance to mingle with some fans that you've seen before.
Well, you know what? It's so weird.
Colleagues that you haven't seen since the show left
the
air.
Absolutely. We've all gone sort of our separate ways. Thank God some of them are working. Thank God some of them are out doing other things. And
What's next for you?
Well, right now, I've been taking it easy this year, healing a back problem, doing all that, getting things in tow, doing a little bit of decorating, finding out how I'm doing a couple of closets worth, and, you know, and I've been looking forward to taking the time off and spending some more time in California with my daughter and granddaughter. My granddaughter will be leaving for college in a year and a half, 2 years. And then somebody's come to me with an interesting idea to do a movie in Ireland. And since I got the weakness of the role in it, and one of six children, yes, and all that, well, yeah. An Irish Catholic family. It's kind of intriguing, but, you know. And we'll see what happens, you know. The money rolls in. I'm rolling to Kilkenny or somewhere. I've driven in Ireland once, and I'll tell you, it was terrifying. I've rented a car. My sister rented this car. She loved Ireland. But I'm left-handed. To get in the car, and you're in the right side of the car, and the steering wheel... And the gear shift is on the left, and I said, Marianne, why the hell didn't you get an automatic? And I'm dyslexic, trying to shift, going this way, riding this way, and the cars are zooming that way. And our only comment all the way the whole thing was, a little close.
Kind of like take your way through that one.
So we stopped at a lot of pubs to get a lot of philosophy. So it was a wonderful trip.
And who knows, maybe you'll be back there again. You can practice your drumming.
It would be a wonderful dream. Because I tell you what, the beautiful thing about going to Ireland when we went there was you asked directions, which we did a great deal. And you asked anybody on the street, you ask the directions, and they say, well, Donna, do you know where the church is? No. Well, then you go one past the church where the O'Donnell is, and then you go one past that. And you, whatever direction they gave you, they ultimately end up saying, and God bless you. And I thought, and that's for a reason.
And they didn't tell you all the directions.
But it was just wonderful. By the time they finished their speech, I was just listening to the groove.
One last funny or interesting soap question for people. Something we hope you haven't been asked before.
Okay.
If you could play any character on any show, past or present, other than Alexander Spalding, who would it be? If you could walk any character's shoes.
Alexander Spalding? Well, I have to say that the time I had on All My Children was the gassiest time I've ever had in any show. And one of the strange things is I remember the producer calling me in and said, oh, she was almost in tears. This is odd for a producer. She was a lovely woman. And she said, you're going to be produce the biggest drug dealer in the world. We just spent the towel walking around with dogs and food and jewelry and everything. And I said, oh, my God. So I went home and I thought about it, and I said, well, there's only one way I can play her. That she is totally insane.
so insane that she's bright as hell, but totally insane, and it whipped her around to the point where she believes everything that's going on. I mean, it was like, there's no holds barred. And you have a part where you say there's no holds barred. Anything goes. And they said, we don't know what we're doing, so you want to put little stickers on your breast? Okay, we don't care.
It was a great role. It really was a great role.
But it was the amount of freedom that was given to try things. And having had a lot of experience in soaps and in my own history started in improv comedy, it was gold to me. It was gold to me to go with it. I said, you don't like it, it's only me.
That's right.
It's only me, and it's only me. And lunch is stupid. But, you know, that was coming back as a dream sequence or as something else to bug somebody. I mean, people love these characters and always want to do something that you wouldn't allow yourself to do. And yet, I think at the end, they want to find some redeeming quality. You know, so maybe they don't hand you to the stake with nails in every hand, just little gold hand. That's okay, the neck rest.
There you go. Rest your head.
So I don't know. You know, you never know what's coming up. You never know what's happening. But I felt so fortunate. The last year I've had time to reflect on that. And I felt so fortunate to have one of the wonderful, wonderful characters that I felt like I could, you know, deliver a little bit of humor as well as the sickening part of personalities who scrape against other people and do some harm.
Perfect. And you've done it well.
Well, I have enjoyed it, and I've been, you know, taken care of well, and realized that not too many people will throw tomatoes in my face on the street, and so that's good.
That's good. Perfect. Thank you.
She's so charming. She's really, really a charming, charming woman with a great Irish brogue. Can you imagine hearing her and Orla Cassidy go at it with the Irish brogue?
No. I think my brain
and maybe throw a little Michael O'Leary in there just for good measure.
I think that's just where it would go.
You know, we've got two more interviews left, and one of them is your favorite unicorn.
Yes.
And we showed the Beth Chamberlain interview to a friend of ours earlier, and her only response was, well, hello, Beth.
Well, hello, Beth.
How are you? So I'm guessing everybody thinks Beth looks really good in the video.
Apparently.
Because we know Jess did.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic in the video.
She's ready to bowl.
She. Oh, perfect
ready,
look,
to,
ready
bowl.
To bowl. So I hear you have those statistics ready now.
I have a few, yes, and I have more if you need them.
Well, why don't you lay them on us?
Almighty. For our sobering, our major sobering moments, one in eight women will get breast cancer in her lifetime. And every
one in eight.
One in eight.
That's a sobering number.
Yeah. One in eight. And the risk, like I said earlier, the risk increases for every woman as they get older. It's not just because it runs in your family or, you know, you may be genetically predisposed. It doesn't matter. Every 13 minutes, a woman dies from it. So in one
hour.
It's
not that hard to do the math on how many women have passed away from breast cancer while we were doing this podcast.
In 1 hour, 4, 2, 8, 3, 12. 16 women will have passed away from breast cancer by the time we're done with the podcast.
When is enough enough?
At minimum. Testicular cancer is the most common in young men between the ages of 20 and 24.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Or 34, I'm sorry, 20 and 34. It's not an old man's disease.
No.
It's not. Because you've gotten old and your body is starting to shut down, that the cells inside your body are now attacking themselves. No. It is a young man's disease. It will claim 350 men per year in the U.S. alone. That's almost one man for each day.
Yep.
From the age of 20. And then the worst, I think, is children. Cancer is the number one killer of children.
A lot of people don't know that.
No. It is the number one
cause of death in children. It is second only.
It is not second.
No, it is. It is the second leading cause of all childhood accidents. Our deaths are accidents.
So the second leading cause of all childhood deaths are accidents.
Yes. I'm flustered with that.
I know. I got you. Don't worry. You don't need to talk for a second. I know.
It's not right.
Kids are resilient, but they're not that resilient. I mean, my nephew, it's been tough for him. Chemo is tough when you're 5. Chemo's tough when you're 55. Chemo's tough when you're 45, 35. But when you're 5, can you imagine?
You don't know what's going on. One minute you're fine, the next minute you wake up in the hospital.
All he knew was that one minute he was tired when he played.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of kids, they don't even get that far. They go to sleep, and the next time they wake up, they're in a hospital, and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because they pass out. It's scary.
There are so many different forms of cancer.
Yeah.
Some don't get the kind of publicity that breast cancer does. But breast cancer kills one woman every 12 minutes, was it? Maybe 13 minutes?
13.
So just keep that statistic in your head for 1 second as we close out our third hour. Every 13 minutes, a woman dies from breast cancer.
We're walking in honor of Sam Bryson. She's a 6-month breast cancer survivor.
Hi, I'm Matt Bond. I'm walking to my mom who died earlier this year of breast cancer. Thank you.
I walk this every year because I had a sister that I lost to breast cancer.
This is the reason why I'm here, to support her.
It's important to me because I'm a 6-year survivor, and I don't want to see this anymore.
I am the third generation in my family to be diagnosed with breast cancer. I was 25 years old.
We will find a cure.
Not really much to say to that one.
No.
And breast cancer as such is almost a misleading term for the cancer. Well, it's not because of where the tissue in which...
True, but men can get breast cancer too. Yep. It's not just a women's disease.
And it's not... A woman. It's not always a woman's disease either.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
It can be. I think the youngest case is a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Got it when she started puberty. And it's just. And men get it. Women get it. It's bad.
But all cancers, so much so that all cancers are. And there are, like you said earlier, a lot that are completely underrated, and you wouldn't, if it's an area in your body, it can be cancer.
And at the end of this, we'll put up the PSA that we actually made ourselves. Or should I say that's my delightful co-host and...
It's 4 minutes.
Made it. It's a four-minute video that Shad made on behalf of Indian or Two, which is a PSA for Pod for the Cause and Daytime Stars and Strikes. And we will put that up again at the end of the show.
It'll be the last 4 minutes of the show.
It will be the last 4 minutes of the show. It will be how we close out the show. If you have run in a breast cancer marathon recently, walked in a breast cancer walk, if you've lost someone to breast cancer or you participate in any breast cancer charities, please feel free to call us and tell us about your experience. If you are a survivor of cancer in any form, give us a call, 646-200-0147. This is the last hour of Pod for the Cause, and we want to hear from you.
And it's never anybody suffering from cancer. Never suffering.
You survive it.
Pain happens.
Mm-hmm.
Suffering doesn't. Suffering is a joy. And it's amazing.
I've never met anybody who wasn't a fighter.
Yeah. It's amazing how much just an ounce of support can do for somebody's morale. How much of one person, even just a random stranger, how much that influences somebody.
The Gift of Amber says her aide is a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was a breast cancer survivor. Michelle Carter is a cancer survivor.
Yes, she is.
From the cast of Venice.
Jerry Verdorn.
Jerry Verdorn is a cancer survivor. Delta Goodrem is a cancer survivor. Olivia Newton-John is a cancer survivor. Melissa Etheridge is a cancer survivor. Sheryl Crow is a cancer survivor.
Christina Applegate is a cancer survivor.
Yes, she is. Lance Armstrong is a cancer survivor.
Melinda Elligan is a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want more statistics, go to cancer.org. It's the American Cancer Society's site. They have their 2010 statistics up. Numbers. Types, what you can do, how you can volunteer, how you can support.
Rox said she has a good friend who lost her mother to breast cancer when she was 13. And I think, did Venice Riley just say her sister's a cancer survivor? Is that what she said, Riley? And yeah, the time is flying by today. And we still have a couple of interviews that we want to get to. But what I want to say is, in this time of celebration, in this time of holidays, in this time of peace and joy, and especially giving, we took the time to do this podcast so that we could give back. And the people who have donated their time, who are here listening, who are in our chat room, are giving back in their own way. We all are. The people who have and are donating, the people who are bidding on items are giving back. So over the next week, as you spend time with your families and you prepare for the holidays, next weekend is Christmas, as we move towards that, as we move towards the new year, take some time and reflect on the world that we live in. Take some time to reflect on those statistics. And if in those moments of reflection you want to give some support and you want to be a part of this cause, please bid on an item. Please donate to Daytime Stars and Strikes. And if you can't do that, donate to somewhere. Donate to the American Cancer Society. Donate to a hospice. Donate your time. Because like Shad just said, an ounce of support means everything. And I'm sure, you know, people like Venice Riley and people like Gift of Amber and us and Rox, those of you who know people who have lost friends or who are survivors especially, know how much that support means.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much that support means.
think about when you're having a bad day and somebody gives you a hug, or some random stranger when you're walking in the midst of that bad day smiles at you just because, says thank you, asks you how you're doing. That little moment where you feel just that little burst and rush of hope, you can give that to somebody. If for nothing else than 30 minutes working in an office, talking to somebody, going to a St. Jude's Children's Hospital and playing with a kid, playing a board game, getting your animal certified to be a cancer dog or animal so they can just sit and pet and have a moment with that. It makes all the difference.
And the money that you donate could go to help find a cure. We're so close. We're so close. But as we move into this final hour, we got a couple of videos left. We have Beth Chamberlain, formerly of Guiding Light and now of Steamboat the Series and Sell the Theory. And we have Jessica Lucia. Let's see, who should we give them next? Should we make them wait all the way to the end for Jessica? I don't think so.
No, because we have that 4 minutes. We have to reserve that 4 minutes.
Okay, let's lighten up the mood a little bit with some Jessica Lucia and some Beth Chamberlain, shall we?
I love me some Beth Riley, but it's Riley just says Beth is hot. My, this Beth is hot. That's all I have.
Beth is hot. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you Beth Chamberlain.
And Jericho. And you never told us Bradley that good looking person.
You've never seen Bradley Cole?
No. He walked in the room, I was like, really?
Yeah, I mean, he is such a good soul, too.
Yeah. Really sweet. Jordan was great, too. Bradley's an incredible guy.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Okay, three questions. You can handle
four. I ask about self.
Yeah.
What draws you to this event besides just being friends and colleagues of Jerry and Liz?
Well, certainly there's the obvious that is for the American Cancer Society. And, you know, you would have that lesson, I guess, when you do what I do for things like this come along, that you can spend some time with people you love and you can see some fans, you know, over the years at so many different events. But at the same time, you're feeling like you're doing good at the same time. You're helping out in your own small way with touch so many lives and very difficult.
What can your lane mate expect from your
book? Well, I wouldn't have very high expectations. I would warn them that we probably shouldn't join up or create a meeting together or anything. I will try my best.
They're not going to need the bumpers or anything.
I believe they will. I believe they will. But we will see. We will see. I may be a ringer.
You could be a ringer.
Imagine it's a kettlebell and you're just chucking it down the lane.
Toss that kettlebell down there. It'll be perfect. It'll be
Swing
good.
Swing it!
Yeah. So you kind of moved on from Soaps, too. We've talked to a couple of people today who kind of moved on from Soaps and done some online new media stuff with Steamboat and with Sal. Are you open to doing more of that? We know you're attached to the second season of Sell for when Mark gets funding.
I would be interested in other series as long as the characters are as compelling and interesting to play as the two I've been fortunate enough to play. Obviously, Brenda, the character of Brenda, is a real departure for me. And for that as an actor is very challenging and rewarding. It's something that I like to spend more time with. I got a weekend to spend as Brenda, and of course I spent a lot of time kind of sculpting the character and thinking about who she was and what she did and what have you. But to play a character, when you have the opportunity to play a character, whether it's a play or whatever, film set, when you get to play a character that you play over
week, over or long period of time, you come to know that character in a different way. That is, it's really fascinating. You know, creative juices just start going crazy. Everything starts firing the longer you get to work with the character. So that that was great fun to do, and obviously the character of Tabitha on Steamboat was also a departure for me too, in that it's more of a comedic.
Nobody knows how funny you are.
No, but
you're pretty damn funny.
I'm very funny. I think so myself.
Last question, fun one. Any, because you are a fan of some of the shows too. If you could play any character on any show, past or present, that isn't one of yours, who would it be?
Daytime.
Sure, why not? Anybody's feet, shoes you want to walk in.
Well, I would. I'd say I always loved. I grew up watching the One Life to Live, and Tina Lord was quite a fun character. I always loved that character. And Eliza Colby, another great character. Certainly in the daytime genre, that those are probably two characters that come to mind that I think are just fabulous characters, fun to play. And in prime time, these days, I would like to do anything on Mad Men or Empire, anything.
Oh, Mad Men would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much fun as an actor when you get well-written material, more well-written, the more levels of things there are to play. That's why I get really excited as an actor. I like roles where there's what's going on the surface and there's what's going on the surface. And so it just creates for such a fun, rich life that you get to portray and create. It's great having that kind
of character. And you, of course, played one of the great sub-characters.
I did. I was very fortunate with my character in that the character of Beth evolved over time. I was glad ultimately that they sort of brought her back to herself at the end. But it was an awful lot of fun to play her doing bad things and being crazy and all
being Lorelai.
And being Lorelai, doing all these different things that I get to do. That's uncommon in soaps. Normally you play a character, and that is being played for the life of the role on the show, and that was not true with my character. And so as an actor, I was continuously challenged by different roles and how I justify those, or not different roles, but different faces that Beth was putting them on, and how did I justify those. So that was, it was great for me. And in also, although certainly who Beth is at her core, who she evolved to at the end, being herself, in many ways, is probably the least interesting to play as an actor. That was also very interesting, too, because through all the changes she went through, when she got back to herself, she wasn't who she was 20 years ago.
No.
She was a woman who was powerful, but she was powerful not in spite of her mistakes, but because of them. And so that made her interesting, even at the
And your role today is as a bowler.
My role today is as a bowler, and I'm open to any and all suggestions. President Obama is not much bowler at all, and he got some pointers. So
pointers. People can leave comments when this goes up on YouTube. They can leave you comments.
Yep.
Pointers about bowling.
I'd be happy to. Yeah.
That would be great. That's perfect. That's the bowler.
I love Beth Chamberlain's voice.
I know.
I love me some Beth Chamberlain. Just.
Now, for those of you who don't know, she did mention Liza Colby from AMC, who is currently being played by Jamie Lerner?
Jamie Lerner.
Lerner, that's right. Jamie Lerner.
And then Tina Lord, who is Vicky's paternal half-sister on One Life to Live. And now she was still a character in 2008. And she said, you know, I'm going to, bye, Lindsay, I'm going to miss you, but you haven't heard the last of me. So write in One Life to Live, Liz Keeper, Beth Chamberlain, and we'll have everybody on Guiding Light. Except Crystal Spell, because she's on dates. We can't really pour from that.
She could go back to One Life. She could play Maggie.
She could play Maggie. I would love to see, you know, Nun turn Circus Freak come back. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it? How much do we love Beth Chamberlain?
More than people will ever know.
You guys have no idea. She is just so organic.
And she's very funny. A lot of people think that she's, you know, I she does give off an air where you kind of, you should be polite and watch yourself. And no. But she's not like, she just goes with it.
She does. And so you, she will say things that you're just like, really, Beth?
Yeah, so we need to write in and get Liz Keefer, Beth Chamberlain, or Orla Cassie on One Life. Maybe even write in, have them bring back Maggie. Give Crystal two jobs.
Yeah.
Two sub jobs. See what happens.
Totally. But I do. I love, love, love me some Beth Chamberlain. And she bowled, and she did the dancing. And Amber, you should really post your video again, because it was hilarious.
Is it gifts that we that she's dancing in? Did you double check?
No, I don't. I'm not
sure.
They're
not going to post if it's not the right
one. But Gifts should post hers too, because I think both of them have bowling in it.
Yes.
I love that I'm getting. I love that I'm getting messages from Wendy where she said the auction voice is not mine. Absolutely not my voice. It was Sunday, an elf.
Oh, that's right.
She was getting the actors early on for the interviews before I sent you out to get the last one. And then somebody in the chat room, I think it was Bettina, said it was Sunday that did the auction. I was just so shocked at the auction and how good it was that we kept coming out and standing at the table there outside the door and watching the auction.
No, we definitely peeked out when they did that tour. Because I was like, did I just hear $2,000? Is that what my brain, am I making that number up or is that what I just heard? And we stood there
Santa, and I will tell you this about the elves for this thing. Santa would be lucky to have these elves.
Yes. Well, Jerry is Santa. Remember?
Yeah.
He was Santa.
Santa would be lucky to have the elves that Wendy has during this event. And where I'm going to find the picture so that you guys can see.
There's two of them.
There it is. There you go.
Gift of Amber won Donna's mug.
Really?
It was the Afterglow one, I think.
We got the like I said earlier, the bowling pin.
Yeah, and then I had, you know, the actual clear moment at that point in time to go around and find members who were not on the cruise that were still there at the event by the end of it and get them to sign it.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have gotten Jerry's pen.
Truth. You wouldn't have. I'm trying to see if I can find the pictures that we have.
In that folder right there.
Of the bowling pin.
We have one with Beth holding it.
We have one of Yvonne holding it. And we have one of Liz and Jennifer holding it. With you, Chad.
Don't post that one.
Why not?
I think my eyes are closed.
No.
It was horrible that day. I was just glad I was behind.
We were very, very tired that day, I will say.
Yes, Gift of Amber got the My Life is a Soap Opera, What Would Blake Do? Coffee mug from Donna Poole. You don't know Donna Poole stuff. Cafe Press, y'all. She's at Donna D. Poole on Twitter. And now I don't know what you're doing.
No, it just uploaded
Oh, Joe, you're uploading photos that never need to see the light of day.
Do you see how she is, guys?
You're worse than I am.
No. I just wish more people could have been at the event because it was so good.
It is good, and I is it bad that I want them to sell out every time?
No.
Like, and I almost would caution, you know, spectator tickets. Even more, I'm like, well, you can stand just inside the restaurant, $5 donation. You can't go past the red rope. You can't go past the little concierge desk. But you can watch what's going on.
Can't go past the little concierge desk.
Yeah,
what, like a special ticket so that you can't go all the way in?
Well, remember, because they're full. There's a capacity. There's a physical capacity limit.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
And then there's the arcade that was on the outside of the bowling alley. But, well, it's part of the bowling alley, but it's there's like, remember the little concierge? There's like this little concierge desk there now where you get your shoes and you sign in and get your stuff. And to the right is the restaurant and to the left is the arcade.
Right.
Before you enter the bowling alley. So, you know, you could have just people purchase like $10 tickets to sit in the restaurant and eat. And, you know, maybe the stars will mingle in there. And you're still on top of it. I'm just being a dork. Don't mind me.
Well, you are, but that's okay. I'm publishing the pictures of the.
The ball. You might want to rotate
the bowling
that
pin.
One.
I'm going to rotate that. Of the bowling pin right now, so that everybody can see it.
With Beth in her silk tank top.
But
everybody loves. It's like the new favorite shirt Beth Chamberlain ever wore. It's a silk tank top. But she was smart. She wore that for a reason, we found out, because she was like, you always get so hot in these events. And it's like, well, you're bowling, so of course you're going to get that way. Never mind the fact that you already are hot to a lot of people.
Right.
So, and see, Jennifer and Liz together, just two buttons.
I, quite frankly, love that picture of the elves and the shirts. Those shirts were awesome. And like I said, Santa would be lucky. We were very honored and pleased to have the opportunity to meet all of the volunteers and the elves who worked behind the scenes.
Yes, we had a lot of fun.
On the event, because...
And probably could have had more if we didn't have places to be even after the event. Because I think that's when volunteers party. You should know. If you've ever volunteered for anything, and if you haven't, go volunteer. Check it out. You're going to work really hard. It's going to feel really good when it's done, and then you're going to go and drink a lot.
And party. Just party and have fun.
And party and have fun, because, you know, that event for the year was over.
If anybody deserves to go out and let loose a little bit after that event, it's them.
Yes. Are you kidding? It was like two minutes. And one of the volunteers was like, here's a shot. I was like, we're good.
Because I don't know how they do it. They were just running around like crazy. They really were. They really, really were. Okay. So before we talk about the end of this and name the items that are up for auction once again and let you know what the bids are, and a huge thanks once again to Kimmy and Crystal Chappelle and Kim Teresi from Venice for donating the season 2 script. Same to Joe Wilson for the season 1 script.
Same for
of Vampire Mom. It's Steve Silverman from Pretty the Series and Tom Conkle and Brittany Powell from Safety Geeks for stepping up and donating things, as well as the and then came Lola DVDs and Riley for donating the comic books.
Both of those items.
Because all of those items are hopefully going to bring in a lot of money. Some money for the American Cancer Society. But we've been teasing you guys with this next 4-minute video all day. And it's not fair to tease you anymore. And after this, I hope you'll go out and you'll tweet all of these videos and send as many people as you can to the YouTube channel to watch these videos, because they are definitely worth it. And I'm going to play this and show this strictly to the chat room first before I make it public for everybody else, so that it is something that you guys got to see first. So here you go. This is the Pod for the Cause interview with Jess Colicchia.
Cheers.
I
love
bowling, but
you didn't bowl last year.
I didn't bowl last year. I came really late. I was at Crystal Function, and I came late and figured I don't think I'm going to have time to bowl, so I did not bowl. So I just kind of mingled and did my thing. I had my husband here and my baby. She was 4 months at the time.
Yeah.
So.
And you're bowling this year?
You're a ringer, aren't you?
I don't think so. I mean, on Wii. On Wii, I can pull my butt off, but the actual physical, I'm not so much.
It'll be fine. You'll do. You're a ringer. I know. You know she is.
Think of it like a Wiimote, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just let go.
Click. It's not going.
Wondering why you're not moving in the small
increment. Supposed to go exactly where the dot line is. I don't see that line. That's what it's going to be like. My poor team. I don't.
It'll be good. And you know, we're going to do another 4-hour podcast like last year, raise money.
Are you?
Yeah. It went well last year. $12,000. In addition to what they raised here. So, yeah. Second season of Venice is out.
Mm-hmm.
You excited that people are finally getting to see it?
Yeah. I feel like this time it came out a little quicker. So it's been even more satisfying. It feels like we just did it yesterday and now it's already out for people to see it.
Are you having fun at One Life? Enjoying your sons?
Sons. A man, children. Yes, I am.
You and Ford look a little.
My baby.
He is your baby.
I always call him my little Bambino. I had this on the set. I work at the police station and I have the set. And so they gave me one of little baby David Gregory. And then one of what he's at as he is now. And then, in the photo, little baby David Gregory is holding a baby, which I'm not going to answer to your question. But that's supposed to be little baby Nick Robot, Big James. So I get to have some kind of frame of reference of what they were holding that is. So I don't see like these big hunky boys coming at me. I feel like a little, he's a baby toddler.
Has anybody ever said, like the fans, have anybody ever said anything to you about Ford kind of looks a little old to be your son?
Yeah. And I don't mind.
Because he's your baby.
It's fine.
That would be fun. So you had him when you were
12.
8.
Yeah. It has a reference on the show. I met me and when she started with each other.
Very young. So if you could choose any character, any time, any show, because I know you're a fan of the shows too, who would it be? Who would you play?
I always secretly loved/hated any time, any character that was played because it's always such a clever, beautiful person, and then the twin was always like, quite me like, this. And like, big face coming out and southern accent. So they're like, that's all. So I always kind of like, became obsessed with that. And I thought, someday, I would like to be an author. I always
wanted to be
one of them being kind of more people with southern accent.
Boston Hunter.
So whoever it is, they may be. Just my own version of that. I would love to do that.
Perfect.
It makes me laugh every day.
Tell them to donate.
And it was a little funky. And her butt taste. And they call it like that.
We have
Southern accent. I have to like leave the room so I don't laugh uncontrollably in the mic while I'm playing.
And poor Rox. You see what you just I know, it's hard.
And she's so animated.
Southern accent.
Southern accent.
Because she didn't just tell you.
She showed you
what she wanted you to be.
What she wanted to play,
she physically acted it out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
And again, the auction was going on, not much we could do about that. We were in probably the quietest area of the bowling alley.
Yeah.
There's nothing anybody could have done with that unless we dubbed the interview after.
Which wouldn't have worked.
So there's a few interviews there where you're hearing the auction go on, but I really don't think that it takes away from.
No. The only other option would be to ask the actors to be there an hour before an hour before Wendy asked him to be there.
2 hours before to talk to us. And
so, yeah, to have a semi-quiet environment. And even then, it wouldn't be because you're in the back room of a bowling alley. So it's better than last year. I loved it.
The lighting was better. You could actually see people. And it was in high def, so you got to see, let's get Rox and Riley talking about things.
Don't say
nothing. I'm not going to say it, but you guys are bad. Bad. Bad people. So I guess I should go and make that one public now, huh?
I guess so.
I'm going to go do that so that we can tweet that one. And people will get to know. I just think Jessica was hilarious. Just the whole fact that she felt the need to act it out.
My husband,
see, that was your favorite part of it. My favorite part of it was her acting out of how she was going to be when the dotted line from the Wiimote didn't show up on the bowling lane.
I don't see the dots. They're dead.
Let's go right where the dotted line goes.
I'm going, I don't see that.
Yeah.
And the bowling alley that we were at the 42nd Street Port Authority.
Port Authority.
I believe it's called Lucky Strike Lanes now.
Really?
I'm sure Wendy.
I bet Wendy will
tell
me what the name of the bowling alley is now. And you know what, I think Riley would have thought before that Riley was right about the clip-on lapel mics, but that actually would not have worked.
No, it would have picked up more.
It would not have muffled the sound coming from outside the room. That sound was coming from outside the room.
Two doors.
The only solution is to leave the bowling alley or get there an hour before the event started.
Which we were there by noon when the actor's call was.
We got there when the actor's call was.
Right. And then everything was supposed to, let's get it going.
Yeah, and then it moved. I mean, the only other way would have been to do it before the auction started. But I think they were right to do the auction first.
Yes.
Because I think that worked out better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And last year it was because we got there late. That was our fault.
And yes, it is the Lucky Strike lanes and lounge.
And staying late
in Manhattan
would be my ideal, but a lot of the actors don't stay late. A lot of
them
are gone by the time the bowling is over.
And things to do. And you have to think it's a weekend for them. It's
a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. They have their families that they need to go take care of and be with, and a lot of them have to go back to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So they, you know, need to go do prep and beat.
The only way to make it work would just be to synchronize to within an inch of our lives and do it before, get everything done before the auction starts.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way.
It's New York.
Or, like Riley said, we could do it in the car.
Whose car?
Somebody's car.
The cabbie. Hey, can we pay you by the hour to just sit right outside?
It'll be, you know, we're going to get progressively better. It's just a matter of overcoming the environment, overcoming the.
Mm-hmm.
She says it was Leisure Time Bowl.
Oh.
And now it's been changed to Frames.
Well, yeah.
I love the interactivity of Wendy during this podcast.
Well, see, and now I looked up the same address, and it's called Lucky Strike, so I don't know why that is.
I don't know why.
Either way, Frames, Bowling, 42nd Street, Port Authority in New York, Manhattan.
Yes.
They were fantastic. Everything, the weirdest thing was going to the bar and getting ready to pay for, like, a soda. And the bartender actually saying, no, it's okay. It's on us. I was like, ooh, well, here then. Have a tip.
Here then.
Most people, no, that's true. Most people won't tip us if they're on the house.
It's true.
They forget. They're like, oh, put their money away. I'm like, oh, awesome. Here, I won't pay the fee for the beverage. I'll just give you it as a tip.
But it was a good interview. I think we enjoyed being a part of it. We enjoyed talking to all of the actors and seeing how passionate they were about being a part of it. And, again, we messed up the name of the bowling alley. It was Leisure Time Bowling last year. They changed to Frames.
Yes.
Since it's been remodeled. Thank you once again to Wendy Medore for your interactive participation in Pod for the Cause.
apparently Liz is tweeting.
Is she?
Probably. Sorry, listening, going, shh. Write-in campaign. Liz Keeper. Because wouldn't it, okay, really, wouldn't it be great? Oh, okay. Anybody from One Life, just think. Just think about it. Liz Keeper gets on One Life to Live. She's Clint Buchanan, you know, gatekeeper, secretary type. But secretly, who's she working for? Tina Lord.
Played by Beth Chamberlain.
Getting the skinny on the whole of the town. See? That would work. And one of, you know, Tina Lord's aides or something could be played by an Irish Orla casting.
Yeah.
She's part of the Irish mob now. Woo, there you go. She's got Irish monsters. In Landview.
Okay.
Yeah, that's totally plausible. It's completely
plausible.
Oh, she tweeted me. Hello.
It is a really good event. And if you guys have a chance to get to Daytime Stars and Strikes next year, you should absolutely do it. Gift of Amber is one of the people who can tell you how wonderful the event was. Rox, I'm telling you right now, if you've enjoyed these videos, you would enjoy being at the event even more. It was so amazing because there were BPDers / Venice fans who were actually lucky enough, they paid to be a part of the event as bowlers, and they were actually lucky enough that when they got chosen for their lane assignment, they were bowling with on the same team as Beth Chamberlain in the same lane assignment with Beth Chamberlain and Jessica Lucia.
Yes.
So BPDers and
who were beside Kim Zimmer and Bradley Cole and Jordan Clark and Jennifer Lozell.
Exactly. So they got to be...
And Liz Keeper, because she was right next to...
Yeah, but it was amazing that they got to bowl with Beth and Jessica. So that was really cool, and I'm really glad that it worked out the way that it did, and there was a huge amount of cast members. I mean, all of the younger One Life to Live stars were there, which is very, very cool.
Oh, that was awesome. It was like a gaggle. I was expecting, really, because I'm just a dork, I was expecting them to break into song because I still had the musical episode stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
From all of them, so I was like, oh, here it goes now. They're going to do, like, you know, Let's Bowl Tonight from Grease 2 or something.
Right.
Woo!
But it was. I mean, it was just one of those events and one of those causes that we all feel proud to be a part of. And it's because of Liz and Jerry and Wendy and all of the elves and everybody that participated that make this event what it is. And it's one of the most well-run, well-put-together, wonderful events that you'd ever want to go to. And then on top of that, what the money that is being raised by everything that happens is going to the American Cancer Society to find a cure. And you really couldn't ask to participate in a better event for a better cause with better people than that. And for all you Venice fans out there, excuse me, look how many people from the cast of Venice were there.
And others that show up. It's, you know,
Jessica Lucia, Jordan Clark. We're both there.
Mm-hmm. And it depends, too, on the year and
Liz
what
Kiefer was there
are available to the actors. Because last year, Cassie DePaiva, Brie Williamson, they were there, and a few others. There's, you know, think of everybody who's
Trevor
on...
Trevor St. John was there
Trevor
last year,
St. John.
Too.
Think of everybody who's on One Life to Live, and the majority of them show up. Especially now since it's done on the same weekend as the One Life to
was,
Live.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, fan event.
I think the One Life to Live event may be moving.
Oh, is it moving?
But if they're going to be working, like Wendy said, with the Bradley Cole event.
Yeah, which also features people from One Life to Live.
And Guiding Light.
And Guiding Light. Big, just so family.
That it is. That it is.
And if you haven't noticed, I've put the links up to Frames. It is Frames. The 42nd Street, 44th.
It's a really cool bowling alley. The renovations made it really quite nice.
It did. It, like I said, it made it more open and yet cozy at the same time. We had a better VIP area, and it was, you know, the interview room was awesome. Everybody at the staff was wonderful. Constantly asking if we needed more or if we needed anything else or what they could do to make everything and everybody as comfortable and keep the enjoyment going. as possible.
Yep. It's just the people are really outstanding to be part of this, and the passion and everything that surrounds this event is amazing. And then this year we got to meet Kim Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Speaking of which, she's tweeting too. She's been watching football.
Who?
Kim Zimmer is a Jets fan.
Ah. And Hillary B. Smith is the one who donated the tour with Jerry, and Tina Sloan donated an autographed book. So you've got pretty much the majority of the cast of Venice involved mm-hmm. in this thing. And I know Crystal has done them before in the past.
Yes. Well, and this year was Beth's first year back. After
an absence, yeah.
A hiatus. So you never know who's going to show up.
You don't.
And like Gift of Amber said, some people don't pay for the bowling lane tickets because it's funner to walk around and mingle with everybody there.
Yeah.
Take pictures, video.
And again, it's for a great cause. The American Cancer Society is the beneficiary, and Jerry Verdorn himself is a cancer survivor.
Kim Zimmer. Her members of her family are
cancer. Kim Zimmer said she had been touched mm-hmm. by cancer. A lot of people have been. And it matters. Your participation in an event like that matters. Your listening to this podcast matters. You're donating $1, $5, $10. It matters. Chad, can you put up the link to the Daytime Stars and Strikes donation page again in the chat room, please?
Mm-hmm.
And while she's doing that, I want to thank everybody for being a part of the chat room and for hanging out with us today. And being a part of this marathon podcast for the second year in a row, and next year will be the third year that we do it, and everything will be even better, and we'll figure out ways to do the video differently, and it'll be different interviews with different people. Although I'm sure people like Jessica will be there again, and obviously Liz will be there again.
And Jerry.
And Jerry, of course, the charming and good-looking Jerry Verdorn. And we'll put up the auction page again. We'll go through the items. We have a Season 2 autograph script from Venice the Series signed by the entire cast. Current bid, $450. Then we also have an autographed photo of the entire cast of Law & Order Special Victims Units, including Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney. We have an autographed photo of Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SVU. Current bid, $30. We have a ball cap and T-shirt from Law & Order. We have 3 hats made and donated by a longtime makeup artist at the One Life to Live Studios. We have Jerry Verdorn's tie and autographed Daytime Stars and Stripes bag. And then we have the props liberated from the Guiding Light set by Liz Kiefer. The Blake Marler wedding photo, a wedding photo of Ross and Blake Marler. A Blake, Kevin, Jason, and Clarissa Marler photograph from Ross's funeral. We have another wedding photo and a rare Marler family photo set. We have a photo set of Blake Marler and the twins, Kevin and Jason. We have a number one autographed set from the Guild Comics that includes issue number one regular cover and the variant cover, autographed by Felicia Day, Sandeep Parikh, Vincent Queso, and Kim Evey. Current bid, $50. We have 3 DVDs of And Then Came Lola. We have the autographed 2011 Safety Geeks pinup calendar. We have 2 of those, and they're signed by Tom Conkle and Brittany Powell.
And those DVDs are autographed by Ashley Sumner.
They are autographed by Ashley Sumner. We have a Vampire Mob T-shirt. We are all famous to a few people. And then we have a Vampire Mob bundle that has the Vampire Mob t-shirt and a signed season one script that is signed by Joe Wilson, John Colella, and Remy Hall. We have a signed, autographed bowling shirt worn by Beth Chamberlain during the Daytime Stars and Strikes event that we liberated from her at the end of the event. We have a 2.7-inch figurine that, once you give pictures, will be customized to look like you. We have an autographed item from Pretty the Series, signed by the entire cast of Pretty the Series, including Kirsten Vanchness, Joan Van Ark, Sam Pancake, Stacey McQueen, and the rest of the cast. And we have a handwritten Jen Foster set list, autographed by cast members from Venice the Series, including but not limited to Tina Sloan. I'm looking at the names now. Crystal Chappelle, Michelle Carter, Jessica Lachia, Harrison, looks like Michael,
did Nadia sign?
I can't see if Nadia Biarla signed that.
Michelle signed it. Yeah. It's on the site. You can look at the signatures.
You can. Those are the items that are up for bid on the auction website.
Gatekeeper herself. That's so her new nickname. I'm just calling
who,
Liz?
Gatekeeper. Liz is, you know what, I am proud to call her a friend.
Yeah.
And we were just lucky that, you know, I got a chance to meet her. And because of her, I got to meet Wendy. And because of that and the participation in this event, I've gotten to meet a lot of people. And I feel honored and humbled by being allowed to be a part of the event every year. And we can't wait till next year. And I just, again, am very humbled by being allowed to be even a small part of Daytime Stars and Strikes. It is an amazing event. It really, really is. So how do we want to end our four-hour stint besides falling asleep face down?
Well, we have our PSA.
Yes.
And aside from that?
We can say that on December 22nd, Indie Inner Tube goes back to its regular Wednesday podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And our guests will be Stephanie Thorpe and Paula Rhodes.
Right before Christmas.
Right before literally. Christmas, we are going to have the elves from the upcoming New Media Project ElfQuest
mm-hmm.
on. Not to mention the other things they've done. Paula Rhodes was in Goodnight's Quest. Stephanie Thorpe's been in a whole bunch of stuff. She's involved in Asylum.
And we'll also update everyone else on the current bid of the auction as it progresses.
Yes, because the auction will be going on until midnight on December 27th. You have plenty of time to get your bids in, and we will be updating people periodically. We're going to try to update the auctions every 30 minutes, except when we're sleeping. Or on Boxing Day when we're shopping, or right after this podcast when we're going to go eat.
We need to take a break.
Because we haven't eaten anything all day.
We need some sugar.
And then I might need a nap.
We're talking about taking care of ourselves and you know, being preventative and everything. No, we do four-hour podcasts without eating. We have plenty of water.
We do have plenty of water. We've kept hydrated. And I want to thank everybody again for being a part of this podcast. I want to remind everyone that on December 29th, to close out our year, we have Kirsten Vanchness coming on the show
mm-hmm.
from Criminal Minds, Pretty the Series, Vampire Mob. She is an inspiration to both Shad and I for many reasons, not just because of any one particular reason, but we love her and we can't wait to get her on the show. And in January, we have guests coming that are going to blow your mind, like Mark Gant from the Bannon Way, Carol Ann McCracken, Tom Conkle and Brittany Powell from Safety Geeks. Because I know Shad's a big fan of Brittany Powell from the Xena days. And so am I. Not going to lie.
And like Gift said, she can't wait till next year when it comes around again. It is truly an event. It really
it is.
It's an experience more than an event, really. It's so much fun, and like a lot of people had said to us, they came, they saw, and then they remembered who they were around at the end of it and said, I don't have a single autograph because it never crossed my mind to.
Yeah.
In that moment, everybody in that room is like family. It's a gathering, it's a meetup, it's a coming together to have fun, to enjoy yourselves, and raise money for something that is so horrible, and yet in the midst of it, kind of forget about how devastating it is.
And it gives us all a chance to give back. And that is what today was all about. Giving back. And standing up and fighting a disease that has touched everybody's lives. The only way that cancer will be beaten is through donations and support from people like you and people like me. That's how it'll happen. And then, someday, soon, I'm answering questions while I'm doing this. And then someday soon, maybe there will be more birthdays. And there will be more people who beat this disease. And it will be a fight that we always win. Instead of one that we sometimes win, or that we almost always win. But it'll be a fight that becomes something that perhaps a generation from now, people will look back and say, isn't it wonderful that we cured it? Isn't it wonderful that people don't die from cancer anymore? That would be pretty awesome.
Surprise! Happy birthday! Go, go. It's your birthday. We gon' party because it's your birthday. Got lots of presents just for your birthday. And this is for you. I wish you many more birthdays, many more wishes, lots more gifts.
CCS is the official sponsor.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. It's your world with more birthdays.
Oh, go shout it. It's your birthday. Ooh, it's your birthday. Go shout it. It's your birthday.
Today's your day.
Happy birthday to you.
You got it going on. Happy birthday.
just for you.
Thank you guys once again for being a part of this. Thank you for being here and listening to us ramble for 4 hours as we try to raise money. Thank you for bidding on the items. Thank you for watching the videos. And preemptively, thank you for sharing the videos with everybody that you know so that hopefully we can make a nice big donation to the American Cancer Society in the name of Daytime Stars and Stripes. Thank you to Liz, Jerry, and Wendy and the Elves for putting on such a great event and for once again calling in to support us as we in turn try to support you. There is nothing that any of us would like more than to see a world with not only more birthdays, but a world without cancer. And to play us out, I'm going to end with a song and give you guys a video that you can watch along with it that could that you can watch along with it that Shad made and that I hope that you will share and that you can also see on the Indie Inner Tube website all about this podcast and Daytime Stars and Stripes and what it is that we're all trying to do in spirit. And also over the next few days, we'll be sharing videos of the event itself. Thank you, guys. And for those of you who are regular listeners of Indie Inner Tube, we will see you on December 22nd, December 29th, and December 30th when we announce on our Ustream channel the nominees for the first annual Indie Inner Tube Awards. So without further chatting or mind-numbingly boring talk on our part, we say adieu, and we'll see you guys again on Wednesday. Thank you, and happy holidays to everybody. Thank you for making the video.
Until you dream that the world will know your name, so tell me your name. And do you care about all the little things or anything at all? I want to feel all the chemicals inside. I wanna feel I wanna sunburn just to know that I'm alive, to know I'm alive. Don't tell me if I'm not here. I just wanna know.
Because I had a sister that I lost to breast cancer.
This is the reason why I'm here, to support her.
It's important to me because I'm a 6-year survivor,
yeah.
And I don't want to see this anymore.
I am